Usually we do it on Mondays, but Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com joins us today. He was busy yesterday doing a lot of goalie stuff. Kev, lots to discuss regarding the goaltending situations right now and many different teams. But I do want to talk a little bit. I read your article. You know, I talked to Mikko Koskinen early in the year, and I know you caught up with his trainer and how he kind of worked, Marco Juivuori, who had worked a little bit different on Koskinen. And we've seen great results. Like, you look at Koskinen's numbers, and there's nothing there that's negative.
No, it's positives all around. And I guess the good news in terms of that story that we had up at NHL.com, and like, if they let me as a writer at NHL.com, I would have like given the hat tip to Jason Gregor, because to be honest with you were the one that first told me about this, working with, when you told me that he worked with Kobe Bryant's trainer, I had to dig into it. So managed to get a hold of, as you said, Marco Juivuori from Finland, talked to him for a good 40 minutes. It was just a fascinating conversation. And I think, you know, without bogging your listeners down with the minutia of what they did, the positive, if you're an Oilers fan, isn't just that it's paying off right now. It's that it should pay off throughout the year. And, you know, again, you don't play the wheels off them like they did last year under Hitchcock. You're going to have to find a little more balance with Mike Smith and make sure you continue to give him time to work on his games. Don't run him into the ground. But he's definitely better prepared to play more this season than he was last year. So the work he's done is sustainable and shouldn't fall off a cliff. As he said to me, by the end of last year, he just felt completely unbalanced in his body. And they've reset that. And, you know, talking to Marco, it sounds like a lot of the work that they did, Mikko continues to do, you know, on a daily basis, getting ready to play. A lot of the activation drills and techniques that he taught him, this is part of Mikko's routine now on a day-to-day basis. And like you said, I mean, part of it is, you know, clearly a better physical base allows him to move more efficiently in the crease, beat plays easier. They really focus on speed and power laterally, but also between the ears too, Jason, like feeling better about yourself physically, feeling more prepared in terms of your strength. Those are all just going to help you mentally. You just feel better about everything. Like I said, by the end of the year, he felt like he was totally off balance physically, and that's going to leave you off balance in the crease as well when you're not feeling good about, you know, just how you feel physically.
Yeah, it's amazing. We've seen it with Ethan Bear from nutrition, how much of a big difference that can make. And, you know, I'm not surprised with Koskinen. You know, you just see his body. Obviously, he looks a little bit trimmer. There's no doubt about it. Carolina's in tonight, and they're going to have Reimer getting the start. He's been out playing Mrazek during a recent hot streak. But what do you make of the goaltending in Carolina between the two of them and maybe the differences in their goaltending?
Well, I guess I'm happy to hear he's playing tonight in Edmonton. I shouldn't say happy to hear. I mean, I'm indifferent, but it makes a little more sense because, you know, those numbers are starting to get a little split up. I think last time I checked, Mrazek was running around a .903 save percentage. James had a little bit of a heater. He was up to .918, playing pretty well, and yet they continued to go back to Peter on a, you know, 2-1 basis, you know, two starts to every one for Reimer. And you know, eventually, when those numbers continue to split, you'd hope you'd see the workload balance out a little bit. So worth noting then that he gets that start tonight in Edmonton. Really a case of different goaltenders. And I do wonder how much this – well, obviously, Peter Mrazek has a history there with the head coach. He helped get them to the Eastern Conference Final last year, although don't discount the role Curtis McElhinney played. And – so maybe that's why you just have that, you get the benefit of the doubt for a while, and that's why Mrazek continues to start at a 2-1 ratio over Reimer despite the numbers. But when I look at them play, I can't help but wonder if, like, James is not a super aggressive goaltender, but he's also a more technically efficient, a little more sort of neutral goaltender than Mrazek is. And so I would think, stylistically, there's a better chance of him delivering consistency for the Carolina Hurricanes. Whereas Peter Mrazek plays, you know, he plays a little more around the edges, outside. He colors outside the edges sometimes, frankly, and that can be exciting. It's dynamic. It's entertaining goaltending, but it can also lead at times to saves that look spectacular that maybe shouldn't have been, and it can lead to goals where you're, the goalie had no chance. Whereas on Reimer, you know, that neutral sometimes plays a little deep. He gets beat, and you're like, he's too deep on that. Whereas Mrazek will make a save and the rebound will go into an empty net, and you'll say, ah, he didn't have a chance on that. And so I wonder how much of that can creep into a team psyche and creep into a coaching staff's decision. Maybe it's as simple as Mrazek has been there longer. He earned the benefit of the doubt last year, but you know, certainly something to keep an eye on going forward, especially if these numbers continue to head in opposite directions and the starts don't.
Okay. You look at Bobrovsky. Back-to-back games, stopped 63 of 65 shots over the weekend. Has anything changed in his game?
Well, it's funny because we talked about this last week and what was wrong with his game and some of the staples in terms of early eyes and some of the movement patterns that had led him to sort of lose his eyes, for lack of a better term, moving to spots rather than beating plays with his eyes to spots and then following with his body, and how that was getting him into trouble and how that was getting away from staples of his game when he had success in Columbus. And it sounds like they really drilled down on that, maybe got a little bit of an outside voice and drilled down on it in Florida. Well, Driedger was making those two straight starts, which of course raised a lot of eyebrows. Anytime you're sitting your $70 million goaltender in favor of giving two straight starts to a guy who hadn't made an NHL start, tongues are going to start wagging, especially when you're starting goaltenders running like an, I think he's what, 890, 894 save percentage. But it really was all about, we've talked about this before with goalies, sometimes you need to get away from the starts, just get some practice time in, focus in on some of the essentials and sort of reestablish the foundation of your game. And in Bob's case, those things we talked about that had drifted, you know, they talked to some people around him and his camp and sort of recognized the same things and went to work on them. And it paid off. Back-to-back starts, which we don't see that often anymore. I guess the Maple Leafs did it this past week with Freddie Anderson. But for the most part, we don't see that anymore. And Bob looked good in both of them. So it's not like he's forgotten how to play goal, but it's amazing even after so many years, you can drift away from your foundation. And when you struggle, you can start to chase the game. And things usually get worse before they get better when you do that. So the reset with Driedger getting the two starts seems to have really settled him down. When I watched those games, I saw a lot more of the old Bob in terms of the habits visually and how that was allowing him to beat plays to spot.
Kevin Woodley joins us from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com. Kev, there's a few other things, the goaltending right now, that have caught my eye a little bit. One being Robin Lehner, who has been amazing in the game, but then come the shootout, like, he's brutal. And the thing is, every other goalie is like running on league average around a 70% stop ratio. But he can't stop anything in the shootout, which is mind-blowing considering how well he's playing in regulation. What do you see? What's the difference there? Is that just between the ears for him when it comes to the shootout?
Well, this is a tough one, and I haven't broken down enough film. The one I've looked at, like, your rule of shootout is to try, and obviously Robin knows all these things and he's worked with the goalie coaches on all this stuff, but you know, your general rule of thumb on breakaways is to match your speed to the attacker's speed. And when they're about the bottom hash mark, that's when you want to be roughly on the edge of your crease. And you really, in a perfect world, you want to sort of force them to deke, because a deke is left or right, and a shot can go anywhere, Jason, right? Low blocker, high blocker, five hole, between, you know, over the by the ear, high glove. Like, a shot can go anywhere. If you can force a deke, all you got to do is left, right. Now, what changes in the shootout is guys have time to go back and forth and, you know, change the angle. There's no back pressure. And so it's really hard to maintain those rules in a shootout. And yet I know a goalie coach who did a study and success, he tied it to the same principle. Like, if you can match it so you are at the edge of your crease when that plays at the hash mark, or what he called the decision-making zone, you're going to have success. And when I look at some of Robin's tape, like, even the other night, he got beat on a really good move. I can't remember which Coyotes forward. It might have been Nick Schmaltz. Like, a really good double move that had Robin swimming. But by the time Schmaltz starts that move, Robin's already well back in his crease. So, in other words, even there's just – it makes it a lot tougher for him when he's that far back and he just kind of bites on the first move. And so there are elements of it where you're like, yeah, maybe he could change some things. But when you hear him talk about it so openly – and he has been so good in the games, like, you do wonder, not mental weakness by any stretch of the imagination, nobody would suggest he is, but it clearly seems to be in his head a little bit, and he's admitted, it's different. The way you play that is totally different from everything else you do in a game. And so as much as my initial reaction was, okay, well, adapt, play it differently, change how, you know, just change your style for that particular moment in the game, the shootouts. I know goalie coaches that teach different stances specifically for shootouts for their goaltenders. But other goalie coaches will tell you the last thing you want him to do is change his game and have that affect his 5-on-5 or his first 65-minute play. So I kind of see it from both sides. At the end of the day, he's clearly struggling with it. He admits he's struggling with it. He seems to be out of ideas. It's costing them points. I wonder if we get to the point where you just say, hey, gets in overtime, Corey Crawford, go make sure you're warmed up and stretched and you're not going to pop a groin on one of these double deeks, and make that switch. Certainly it seems to be something that Robin talked about, and I'm curious whether they start to consider it as these losses pile up, because they're not in a place where they can afford to give away that extra point.
Yeah. Well, I remember when the Oilers did that once in Edmonton, right? They went to the cold goaltender. Now, I know that some teams, and I don't know if it was at home, you could do it more, because some teams have, like in Edmonton, there is an area behind their bench where the goalie can go warm up, right? Like a short little area, like not just do stretching, but get on. They got like the synthetic ice and stuff like that. Like, I don't know how many other facilities have that, but if they did, then at least if the goalie was warm, I could see it. But you being a goalie, Kevin, I highly doubt Corey Crawford sitting there for 60 minutes wants to suddenly go in cold for a shootout.
Well, no, that's the thing. In the shootout, like, if you're ever going to pop a groin, you know, I mean, how many shootouts end with your goaltender in full splits or fully extended? The last thing you want to do after sitting on a bench for 65 minutes, for sure. So it's not ideal. I wouldn't suggest it. Like you said, I missed the Oilers example, frankly. When I was looking it up, there was one year where
Mike Morrison, I think. Yeah.
Okay, Vesa Toksla couldn't stop a thing in the shootout. And I know the Leafs did it one year where they pulled him. It might have even been as far back as Curtis Joseph or somebody like that in the shootout, and it didn't work. They lost anyways, but certainly, especially Corey Crawford being 35, like I just don't think it's an ideal situation. It seems extreme, and yet so are the results. They are extreme. Like, his save percentage is down near the 40s. You know, it's not just that they're losing shootouts. Like, he didn't make any saves in the last time they were out there, right? Like, it's two and done. And so that puts a lot of pressure on your scorers to finish every time. And there just seems to be a block there. And so desperate times, desperate measures. And yet so desperate. Could you imagine if they put Corey Crawford in and he hurt himself? And now, yeah, all of a sudden, this great tandem, you're down to just one guy and you got to ride him. There's more downside, I guess, than upside. But at some point, the way things are going, you know, you wonder if you're going to see it there.
Kevin Woodley from Ingo Magazine, NHL.com, joins us. Former Edmonton Oil Kings netminder Tristan Jarry right now is significantly outplaying Matt Murray. Both of them are RFAs this summer. They've also got Casey DeSmith in the AHL. What do you make of Matt Murray right now as a goaltender, Kevin? And is Tristan Jarry, has he taken over as the guy in Pittsburgh?
Well, he certainly earned more time, and he's getting more time. I would not. I mean, Matt Murray's got 2 Stanley Cups. The same things in his game that I saw then, including strengths and weaknesses, and I listed them when we did all those breakdowns, they still exist to a certain extent. It looks like since they made the goaltending coach change, obviously, I don't know if a lot of your listeners may not all remember, but after they won their second cup, before the parade, they fired Mike Bales, who was the goaltending coach that got them there, the goaltending coach that really fixed a lot of things in Fleury's game and settled him down. The goaltending coach that then went on to Carolina and got them to the Eastern Conference Final last year with Mrazek and a waiver wire claim in McElhinney, and he's now in Buffalo after leaving the Canes. So the switch there, the one thing I would say is Mike Buckley's come in and he wants his guys to play with a little more flow. And that's easy for Jarry. He's a great skater. Matt Murray, to me, is a little more stationary, point-to-point, you know, sit in a spot and wait for the play to come to you type goaltender. And I don't know that the extra in-and-out flow game really suits his style. And so that might be a part of it. It may just be the holes that were there when he won the Cup are being targeted more. It may just be a downstretch. Either way, in no way writing him off at all at this point. But in the short term, he's opening a door for Tristan Jarry to certainly get more starts. and he's not doing himself any favors as a guy who signed a bridge deal coming off the cups and is looking at restricted free agency this summer. And, you know, big picture, we have this conversation in Vancouver a lot with Jacob Markstrom needing a contract at the end of the year and Thatcher Demko. It's not just about right now in terms of who you sign for how long, but it's about what type of protections you give them. Does Matt Murray's history there warrant a no-move clause? Because the expansion draft is coming up, and you can only protect one. And, you know, in terms of cheaper, that's going to be Tristan Jarry probably in the short term. He's performing exceptionally well right now. And you have to make that decision, not just how do you sign him, but what do you do in the expansion draft? Who do you protect? So interesting times for sure for the Pittsburgh Penguins. And good for Tristan Jarry, who obviously he's mentioned the Oil Kings. I know him here in Vancouver a little bit. And a lot of people forget, like, he was kind of a prospect ranked ahead of Matt Murray, playing together with Matt Murray when Murray got his first opportunity, came up and won the Cup. So one of those situations where a lot of people felt he'd been passed by, and here we are 3 years later, he may be the one doing the passing.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch there. Same in New York with the Rangers. And I know we don't have any time to get in George yet, but he's been really good. And Lundqvist is getting older. I think the passing of the torch there might be happening over the next few seasons as well. Kev, enjoy the game tonight, Vancouver-Toronto, and we'll chat with you next week.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see whether you guys get a 3 more starts, 5 in a row, Freddie Anderson on Saturday. Big topic around here is how much they're playing him. So I have a hunch you will, though. So enjoy yours tonight. We'll talk to you next week.
You think Freddie's going to go all three, or do you think they'll give Hutchinson the Calgary game?
No, I have a feeling they're going to give him all three, to be honest with you. And that will, of course, be a storyline by the time they arrive in Edmonton. I'll be honest with you, I think Hutchinson has been not bad. We talked about that game in Chicago where, you know, they outshot the Blackhawks 57-something and lost 5-4, and everybody pinned it on Hutchinson. But, you know, analytically, he actually had a better night than Lehner that night. The Leafs pumped a whole bunch of easy saves in Robin's direction. And I think Hutchinson has been caught up in that a little bit. Like, he's better than the numbers suggest. He's better than the narrative suggests. And yet this is a Leafs team that needs wins right now. And they need, on a lot of nights, like, elite top five goaltending to win. And Freddie Anderson's been giving that to him. So that's part of the problem is Hutchinson's a good goaltender, but he's not Freddie Anderson. And they're a team right now that needs Freddie Anderson, you know, tight performances to have a chance on a nightly basis.
Appreciate it, Kev. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, perfect, Jason. Take care.